Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Our five-minute foundation today is about sharing our faith, which is also known as the Great Commission. Because after all, that is how we go out and make disciples, is by sharing our faith and inviting others to join us in that faith. So Matthew 28, 18 and 19 says, Christ says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Yeah, that's Christ's directive to his followers, to us. And 1 Peter 3:15 tells us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks, to give the reason for the hope that you have. The reason for the hope you have does not need to be embroiled in deep theological study. In fact, I would argue that it should not be complicated or technical. It should instead be a simple story of your experience that others can relate to. You don't have to be an electrician to say with high confidence that you expect the light to come on when you flip the switch. Likewise, you don't have to be a theologian to know the work of Christ has done in your life. You know that from experience too, and with equal confidence you can tell others that Christ will do a similar work of redemption in their lives if they will step out in faith and let him. As believers, we are called to share our faith. This is done primarily through two means: lifestyle evangelism, which is simply living Christian life right out in front of everybody. Live a life of integrity and give God credit for the good things in your life. Some time ago, I bought a car from an individual for $3,500. When we agreed on the price and I paid, he presented me with a bill of sale for $1,000, intended to save me a bunch of sales tax when I registered it with the state. About $200 savings, actually. As we were finishing up, the Lord convicted me. So I explained to him that as a follower of Christ, I wasn't comfortable doing that, and asked him to give me a bill of sale in the correct amount. I really have no idea what impact that may have had on him, but I pray it gave him pause to think about God and maybe consider a change in his lifestyle. Then again, maybe he just couldn't believe what a fool I was. But especially since my temptation to just let it go was through the roof, and it cost me over $200, I really want that to have kingdom impact. So, and please don't think I'm sanctimonious about this, and I wish I could say that I never participated in modifying the vehicle sale price to avoid a portion of sales tax. Well, I guess I could say that, but it maybe wouldn't be true. But my prayer is that my lifestyle will always be such that I would never consider that again. This and so many other examples of lifestyle evangelism are often what open the door for another way to share our faith, which is personal testimony. And personal testimony is simply an oral presentation of the facts surrounding your life. No need to research to be sure you have the facts right. Just share what Jesus has done in your life. A great example of this in Scripture is the blind man healed by Jesus in John 9. Religious leaders examined him, asking theological and philosophical questions about the Sabbath and Jesus' heritage in an effort to trap him. I love this because it's such a perfect example of the simplicity of God confounding the wisdom of man. The leaders were looking for something to refute and argue with. They were trying to catch him in some theological blunder. Instead, the formerly blind man simply says in John 9:25, and by the way, I like Tom's paraphrase of this, "I don't know about all that stuff. One thing I know, I was blind and now I see." There's just no rebuttal to that. In the end, the Pharisees resorted to calling him a sinner and kicking him out of the synagogue, their own heresy revealed by a simple personal story of a blind beggar now healed. I also love the story of the woman at the well. After talking with Jesus, she returned to Samaria and told how Christ had ministered to her. She was a social pariah, and yet John 4:39 tells us, "And many of the Samaritans in that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, 'He told me all that I ever did.'" Just a simple story of what Christ did for her resulted in the salvation of many. So the lesson from this is that you don't have to know everything. Yep. You only have to know one thing, which is your story, and just share what you know. It does help to prepare a personal testimony, maybe 3 minutes, a 3-point outline, which would include your attitudes and actions before you became a Christian, the circumstances surrounding your conversion, the changes that took place in your attitude and actions after you received Christ. Just keep this short, maybe 3 minutes. And by doing this, you will know what you want to share about Jesus' redemptive work in your life when the opportunity arises.
Amen. What a privilege we have to share the gospel, the good news with people. Something is, we have a ringing something there. All right, if you would stand with us one more time. And this last song is called More Than Enough. If you found that Jesus is not just enough, but He's more than enough. He provides abundantly. He gives His grace, His wonderful Spirit, more than we need. Thank you, Father. Not sure. Am I on? Can you hear me? All right, good. If you were here last week, you might remember that there was a word of knowledge about someone needing prayer for their finger. And it just kept coming to me, and I kept thinking of Judy Riley. And as I was praying on Saturday, that word kept coming to me. Pray for somebody for their finger. But I kept thinking of Judy, and I came to church, and Judy wasn't here. And I thought, well, maybe it's for somebody else. Well, later on, we went over to her house, and we laid hands on Judy. Judy, after we prayed, what happened?
Well, we visited for a little bit first, and then they were going to go home. So I was sitting with my hands like this. Pastor Dave came over and put his hand on top of mine and prayed for the finger. It's healed. It's not swelling or nothing. Now wait. Then he prayed for the feet because I had gout in both feet. That's why I couldn't get to church. So he prayed for that, and that was healed. Both of them. And I didn't know till the next morning. And I wanted to call them so fat bad and tell them, but it was a holiday. I didn't know if they had plans, if they had gone away. So I said, well, I'll call the church number at his house. And so I did, and he answered. So I told him, and it was, I've been healed, and it's good. Especially that finger. I had shots in there and everything, and they didn't work. I told the doc, it isn't going to work. And so he prayed, and it's healed. Now, I got a lot of crookedness because I do have a lot of arthritis in my hand, but that finger is healed. I can touch it, poke it, anything.
Yeah. Judy had told me you'd struggled with that bad finger for months and months, haven't you? A long, long time. She's always been talking about that, and we prayed, and God, glory to His name, she called and said, that finger, all the swelling is gone, and the pain disappeared, and the gout vanished from my legs. Glory to God. Oh, glory to His name. Glory, glory to His name. I have a few prayer requests this morning. I want to remember Kathy Chafee. She's homesick. She's got some kind of a respiratory thing, is it, Sherry, you said? Yeah, her throat, and she's just not feeling well, and we want to pray for her. Last week we mentioned a couple named Pam and Jim, friends of Kim Parrish's, that lost their son tragically to cancer, was it? They contacted her and said, please have the congregation pray for us again. It's very devastating. 19 years old? Yeah, devastating loss. And also, Kim lost her grandpa in the night, last night. Dewey Hammond passed away, and we want to pray for their family. Father, we thank You that You are, first of all, You are the God of miracles. Lord, we thank You for that miracle of healing in Judy Riley's body. And Father, we're asking for more. God, we're praying. Lord, we heard about sharing our faith today. Father, I pray that You would give us grace to share our faith with Steins, following. Signs following, Lord. Mighty signs and wonders, Father, showing your hand, not so that any man would receive the glory, but only that God would receive the glory. Father, we're asking that you would pour it out in greater measure. We pray for our sister Kathy, Lord, today, that you would touch her. Touch her throat, Father. Touch everything in her that's infected. God, in the name of Jesus, that you would bring healing to her body. Father, we pray for this couple that's lost their son, Father, to cancer. Lord, we pray that you would have mercy on Pam and Jim and all of the people connected with them, Lord, as they grieve the loss of their son. Father, I pray that Jesus would be central, Father, in their life at this time, that they would be able to receive the comfort of the Spirit of God, that you would pour it out on them, Father, and help them as they walk through this dark valley. Help them to know that you are still the light and life, Father. We pray that you would bless them and help them. We pray for Kim and her family at the passing of her grandpa. And we pray that your comfort would rest on that family and that you would encourage and bless them, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. As we're praying this morning, I feel like the Lord is just impressing me. Somebody struggled with a jaw issue. Something with your jaw. Something that hasn't worked right in there. And if that's you, I just feel like God wants to touch you today. Especially if you have a jaw issue. If you want to come up for prayer at the end. Okay. Yeah, come now. Come now. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray for my brother that you would deliver him. God, that you would touch him. Lord, that his jaw would do what it was made to do. Father, whatever could be wrong inside that jaw, Father, I pray for a miracle of healing to come upon my brother. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, we believe you. We've sung, God of miracles, come, manifest healing in his body. Lord, I pray that a mighty virtue would come. Lord, pour it out. Pour out your spirit. Help his jaw, Father. Lord, I pray that you would do it.
Thank you, Lord.
We believe you for it, God. We believe you for it. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. What do you think about instant obedience? I was going to make our brother wait until the end of service. He's like, no way. We're not doing that. Okay. We have communion this morning, and I'd like to invite you to come up and partake of the elements. We do have a gluten-free option if you need that. But I'm going to invite you, if you would come now. Whoops. Okay. Yep. So if you would come and take the elements, and if you would hold those, and we will partake of them together. All affection, our devotion, pour out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, pour out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, our devotion, pour out on the feet of Jesus. Our affection, devotion, pour out on the feet of Jesus. We love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the adore. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one our hearts adore. Hearts adore. You might remember the old hymn, "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." Are you glad today that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all of our sins? Glory, glory to His name. I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians if I can find it. Again, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's partake together. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. Father, we thank you today for the precious blood of Jesus that washes us white as snow, and where we had no hope and no help in the world, because of your blood, we can have fellowship with you again. Thank you for your broken body. Father, we thank you for your broken body, that by your stripes we're healed, and by your blood you wash away our sins. Lord, we give you thanks today. Thank you for all that you have given to us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we are excited, really excited, thrilled to have Irv and Ruth Schwant with us today from the Rahema Home Ministry. Many of you know that we support that on a regular basis. And we want to encourage you to remember them, especially in your giving. There's a couple of, I think, specific needs that they have. Given that they have a home, they probably have a lot of dirty clothes, and they really need a new washing machine. Is that correct? And kids eat a lot of food, and they need a new refrigerator. And so if you feel like you would like to help with that, we would be happy to receive that we can receive that this week or next week, or we'll continue to take any donations to help, especially with those specific needs that they have, as well as the ongoing expenses of taking care of how many kids? Well, uh-oh. Lots of children. All right, Irvin Ruth, would you come up this morning and share? God bless you. Thanks for coming and being with us. And I think our mic is still on. It is still on. Yep. And it won't shock you, I don't think.
Praise the Lord. It is really good to be back with you and to be able to share about what we're doing and what God is doing for us and through us. But I'll ask my wife to speak about the home. She's got a better head for figures. Are you coming or are you going out the back door? Oh dear. She's so beautiful.
Excuse him, but he doesn't change. It's good to be with you this morning. It's always a joy to come and fellowship with friends. We've been a part of this church for many, 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 many years, and we appreciate each one of you. Rahema Home is still there and still going strong. You know, at one point we thought, well, all of our kids are aging out. They're all 18 plus, and what's going to happen when we have an empty home? Well, since November, we have received 7 babies. So right now we have 7 babies all under the age of 7 months. So we're starting a new family, it appears. Altogether, we have about 25 under the age of 4. So you can imagine on any given day what kind of chaos it is. God is good. God is faithful. And as we watch the kids grow and develop, we see that God has His hand on their lives. Oh, at times you think, this one's not going in the right direction and that one needs some help. But in the end, God has His hand upon them, and we believe that eventually they will come back to the right way. We're thankful for those that are following the Lord. We've just had one graduate from Elam 2 weeks ago. And then 10 days ago he got married. So it's been a busy few weeks. But we thank the Lord for his life. And we trust that he will also make an impact on his Rahema brothers and sisters. They were telling me just before I left, well, they said when we were about 16, we took bets on who was going to get married first. And I said, and so? They said, we were right. It was Alex. And Alex got married 10 days ago. A few weeks ago, just soon after we arrived in the States, somebody asked me, so what verse do you think has blessed you all these years? And at the time, my mind, you know how it is when somebody asks you something, your mind goes totally blank. And I couldn't come up with anything. But in the last few weeks, the word that keeps coming to my mind is faithful. God is faithful. God has been faithful. And almost every service we have been in, every place we've been in, that song comes to my mind, all my life, you have been faithful. I'm sure you know it. And even during difficult times, God is good. You know, if you've raised children, nothing is funny all the time. There are always one or two that cause problems. Somebody asked me the other day, so can we still adopt? I said, no, but you can have. And I named two or three. Because it seems whenever there's something going on, one of those two or three is in the middle of it. So right now we have about 63 kids. I think that was the last count. 25 of them are five and under. We have five high schoolers. You can have all the high schoolers. And then some in elementary. So 35 between preschool and ninth grade. And that also is a big needy area for Rehema, because we have to send them to private school. The Kenyan schools, there might be 60 in the class. There might be books, there might not. There might be a teacher, there might not. And so they wouldn't get any kind of education. And so our choice is to send them to a small private school just down the road. But private schools cost money. And I'd ask you to pray for this need, because we have to come up with $6,000 every 4 months for their education. But they need an education. They need the school. They're wonderful to us. If we haven't come up with the money, they'll say, okay, well, we can wait. We know you'll pay. And so they've been wonderful to us. But you know, if you've got a big bill and you know you've got to pay it, it sits there on your heart. I've got this money. I need to pay it. So I would ask you to pray for that need. And God is faithful. Our kids have not yet been kicked out. They're still there. And they're all doing well. So the verse that came to my mind when I was thinking about faithfulness is Psalm 89, verse 1. And I can't read it because I can't see it.
Your microphone's died. You'll have to just hold this.
Okay.
You believe in resurrection?
I don't think I need a mic, really, but my kids say I have a loud voice. And I tell them, yeah, God knew what I was going to do, so He gave me a loud voice. God is faithful even in tough times. My mind was thinking yesterday, and I don't know if my husband realizes this, but it's a year today since our 24-year-old Rehema's sons died. But even during that time, God remained faithful. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life, God is faithful. And that is my theme. God is faithful in everything. I'm not going to take any more time because I want to leave time for my husband and his bad jokes. If you've heard it before, please say, we've heard that one. Because I guarantee... I guarantee if you've heard it before, I've heard it many times before. But Rahema is going on strong. We're getting new children. We're trying to, our older ones move out slowly, slowly when they're ready. By law, the government says when they're 18, they should no longer be in a children's home. But how many of you kick out your 18-year-olds? A family doesn't do that. And so when they're ready, we move them out. Some of them don't like it, but it's a necessary part of life. At some point in time, the majority of us had to move out of home and learn to live on our own. And they have to do that. And most of them are doing well. The great thing is some of them are coming back and saying, what can I do for Rahema? How can I help? Right now we have one working in our office. We have a driver. We have somebody on the gate. They were all Rahema kids at one point. Leanne, who is one of our oldest girl, she helps sort out donation clothes and keeps the store tidy and is bossy. Just before we left, one of the external residents came and said, Auntie, I need some trousers. Do you have any in the store? So I said, I don't know. I'll ask Leanne. So I called Leanne and said, do we have any trousers in the store? She said, yes. I said, where are they? She said, I'll come tomorrow. Don't you go in my store and mess it up. Okay. So it's good to see the older ones coming back and giving their time to Rahema. It's home for them. We're not an orphanage, we are a home. And we thank God that these children are growing up to know Rahema is their base. In any given day, we can have two or three come in, just stop in and say, we've just come to say hi. We have the ones that come and say, give me. But majority of them come in and say, we just stopped by to say hi. How are you doing? You know, just as a normal family. And we thank God for that. God is faithful.
If you noticed her beautiful jacket, it's made by one of our daughters.
One of our Rahema daughters
who is deaf. Mm-hmm. She had a tailoring course, and I think she has done marvelous. Now, after what my wife said about me, I can only think of saying with Roger Dangerfield, I get no respect. Let me leave you with a... I heard a noise, but I didn't hear what was said. But okay, that's it. I tell my children and my students, even the church where we go when I preach, please don't throw out your Old Testament. It is a foundation for the New Testament. And I sincerely mean that. We don't dwell in the Old Testament, but we use it to see where things began and carry on in the Scripture. Now, I had a message of about 50 pages. I did cut it down for you to 49, but let me see if I can get done in 20 minutes. You all know the Scripture. Genesis 1, verse 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, these two verses have caused a lot of controversy and discussion because many pastors and theologians think there is a argument between these two verses, a disagreement. They think, oh, well, yeah, God is a God of perfection. So if God created the heavens and the earth, it had to be perfect. But what happened in verse 2? It's without form and void. So many of them state their own thoughts to try to explain why the earth fell into being without form and void. And they reason that, you know, God has been and will always be perfect. But the words without form and void indicate something must have happened. They believe that something went on between verses 1 and 2, and they tried to bring their own thoughts into what was being said in these verses. Okay? Now, one view is that Lucifer sinned and was cast out of heaven. Anyway, along with his angels. Lucifer's name means shining one. And he then became an angel of darkness. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. So that's one thought. I'm not going to get into this. It's involved. I don't agree with what is being said. Some believe the earth was judged because of the rebellion of Satan. And some even think there was a pre-Adamic age that was judged because of sin. Some think that the scientists say, well, there's a long period of time in the development of the earth, millions of years. So in wanting to try to justify the Bible with scientists, they say, some Bible scholars will say, there had to be a time period that was needed to fill the gap. And the angels must have rebelled during that time. Others will say, because the earth was covered with water, there was a Luciferic flood that was a judgment. Others say, oh, that's the time of the dinosaurs. Where do you fit it in? Well, maybe between verses 1 and 2. Well, I think we jump around a lot trying to fill in reasons that God didn't want to intend for us. Now, we need to understand that these people base their thoughts on one word, replenish. God said to Adam and Eve, replenish the earth. But that word, replenish, was not in the original Hebrew. That word, replenish, was to mean fill or make full. It was used one more time with Noah, when God said to Noah and his sons and their wives, go out and replenish. Again, that was the Hebrew word that is often used for fill or make full. It really doesn't have anything to do with another creation. No, this word, Hebrew word, is only used 7 times in the Bible to say replenish, but 195 times to say filled or full. Even the English translation back in 1611, King James Version, the understanding of the Hebrew word was fill or make full. But they used the word replenish. Why? Because back in those days, replenish does not mean what it means today. It just means to fill again. So God was wanting the people to do something. God had already filled the earth, or God has filled the earth with people and animals. And God was saying, really, Adam and Eve, replenish or fill with what I have not filled the earth with. Do something I haven't yet done. my responsibility, prepare an earth. An earth that was a home for man. I have put water, grass, trees, plants, animals, birds, fish. I build it so that you can live. Now, you do something I haven't done. You fill it with other people of your kind. So, scientists said the earth is so old. Bible scholars say, hey, how do we reconcile this? So they thought of a way to fill the gap. But let me tell you, you cannot use science to explain God. Can you show us the next slide? Whoop, that's the planet Earth. Let me just skip on to what I was going to say. Planet Earth. Was it created? There it is. You see that question mark in the slide? That was taken by a Hubble telescope. And these NASA scientists were amazed. Whoa, a question mark in outer space? It's actually formed by two merging or beginning to merge galaxies. But when we view it, it's a big question mark. What is God saying? You think you understand me, but your thoughts are not my thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I think God was having a good joke with the scientists, trying to explain away things. So, was the creation a mistake? Did God create an imperfect earth? Well, no. Think about this. I was reading this portion of Scripture, and it suddenly hit me. The earth was created at the same time as all the rest of the universe, right? And it was created in the same way as the rest of the universe. And yet, God, looking at all the universe, said, okay, here's a solar system. That looks good, but not quite what I had in mind. Here's another one. That's a little better. Everything was formed the same time, the same way, the same conditions. And God said, go back to that other one. Here is Earth, the Moon, Mars, Venus. Do they look perfect? Do they look fully developed? Well, God created them the way they are. And even the Earth was like that. So, what's happening? Very simply, God showed me what He was doing. See, the answer is in the Scriptures. The answer is in your Bible. God sets a pattern throughout Scripture with Genesis 1 and 2. The answer is in the pattern. The answer is in the eternal principle that God is establishing. Now, work with me on this. Be patient. I'll get to the end and land this airplane. But there's a purpose for what I'm saying. God's eternal plan was started back then, when Earth was selected. Let me use a different word. Earth was chosen. Chosen. Now that's a very scriptural word. Earth was chosen. God said, out of all this creation, I want this planet. I'm going to do something with this planet I will call Earth. Now, the rest of creation, it wasn't rejected. It just wasn't what God had in mind. Now, we say The rest of the planets and stars and solar systems, we don't know about that. They don't look so good. But let me quote you something scientists say about the universe. They have described it as a beautiful place. It contains stunning planets, sporting surfaces painted with vivid brushstrokes, dying and dead stars that light up the cosmos with rainbows of different colors, and galaxies that are spinning around one another, pulling long and intricate strands far out into space. When they look at the universe, they see a beautiful thing. And in my office, I have different things. I have that picture of the question mark, and I have other things that show a beautiful, beautiful universe that God created. But He didn't choose those other places. He chose the earth for His own special creation and His own special purpose. Now, let's jump. Jump to Abraham. He was, we call him the father of Israel, father of a nation. Abraham and the patriarchs that followed him. Let's remember, he was chosen. They were chosen. They were chosen for His purpose, God's plan, God's special creation for earth. Now, we look at the earth when God created, man was created after the animals. Now, let's understand, Adam was created out of the dust of the earth. The dust of the earth. So there's a linkage between Adam and the earth. Eve was created from man. Ouch. Oh, glad he was asleep, because I wouldn't have wanted it. But and he was created from Adam, who was created from the dust of the earth. There's a linkage there. There's a linkage. Now, God made the earth special by showing Adam, created from the dust. It's saying God made the earth special for us, the children of Adam. Does that sound reasonable? He chose the earth and made it special for us. He made it a perfect home just for us. No other place in the universe is so specially made. No other planet in the universe was made for life. Now, there's a statement that differs with science. But scientists will say, that's a selfish statement. How can you say there's no other life in the universe? Well, simply because God made the earth as a gift for us. Do you earn gifts? Do you buy the gifts? Do you deserve the gift? No. God created a gift just for us. And it wasn't of our choosing. It was of His choosing. And He gave all the universe as part of that gift to show us the grandeur and the majesty of God. God made it as a present. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. Is it selfish to say it's a gift and there is nothing else like it? No. What's the definition of selfish? It's concerned excessively and exclusively with oneself, arising from a concern of one's own welfare and or advantage in disregard of others. That's selfish. Gift. Now let's look at the definition of a gift. Something given voluntarily without payment in return, as to show favor toward someone, an honor, to honor an occasion, or make a gesture of assistance. By definition, it's not selfish to receive a gift. God gave us the gift of the universe. Now, let's also understand, it's the giver that determines the value, the size, the quality, and the usage of that gift. And we are asked just by God to receive it. To receive His gift and express our thankfulness back to God. Express our gratitude, love, and devotion back to Him. He made all that for little old me. That should speak volumes to us. Now let's look at it a bit closer. Out of all the millions of planets God created, out of all the ones He created, He chose the earth. Out of all the earth, out of all the nations of the earth, He chose Israel. Okay? Out of all the cities of the earth, He chose Jerusalem. I have scriptures for all of this, but let me just rush through, if you don't mind. Out of all the tribes of Israel, He chose the Levites as priests. You see where we're going here? Out of all the Israelites, He chose David as king. Out of all the sons of David, He chose Solomon to inherit the kingdom and to build the house of God. Out of the remnant who returned to Jerusalem, He chose Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was responsible for rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. And He actually called Zerubbabel His chosen. Each example I'm giving you, the Bible specifically says, I chose. I chose. I chose. Out of 70 disciples, God chose 12 apostles. Oh, okay. Out of all religious Jews, God chose Paul. When God spoke to Ananias, who was to receive Paul, He said, I'm sending you this man. He is my chosen. God chose him. Out of all the Christians, out of all the Gentiles, rather, God chose Christians. He chose us. He chose us. We are special. Ephesians 1:4 says, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him. Now you see the link? He chose us before the world. He chose us before He chose the earth that we should be His, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Peter, 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness. Another link to the creation of the earth. The earth was without form and void and filled with darkness. Called you out of darkness to His marvelous light. God said, let there be light. The earth was filled with darkness, without form and void, until God said, let there be light. It was unproductive. It was unbeautiful, as what we think of beauty. He was unproductive because nothing was there to reproduce. It was what we would say is worthless. We would also say it's unprofitable. The value, let's understand, the value of anything is in the eye of the beholder. And God sees beyond the surface. He looks into the depths of our soul and He sees true beauty and value. When we give ourselves to Him, He makes us a new creation. Isn't that what He did to the earth? Recreated it. Well, not recreated. He refined the earth. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are made beautiful. We are made valuable. We are made profitable and with a design and with purpose. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you feel rejected? Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." I skipped. I should have been a verse coming under loneliness. Rejection, the verse is Psalms 94:14. "For the Lord will not reject His people." Do you feel lonely? Read Isaiah 41:10. Do you feel dismayed? 1 Chronicles 22:13. "You shall prosper if you take heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments of the Lord charged to Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not and be not dismayed." Be not dismayed. You're feeling worthless today. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "My thoughts of peace, my thoughts are of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." You're feeling depressed. Psalms 34:17 and 18, "When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." When a Christian realizes his standing with God, that he's a special creation, he is special to God, God has chosen that individual, things change in your life. The loneliness will go. Feeling unloved will go. Worthlessness will go. Being unfulfilled and dissatisfied will go. God has a plan for each one of us. Why? He chose us. He chose us. If you're feeling abused, remember, God chose you and He can change you. You feeling weary of life? Remember, God chose you. He can fill you and change you. You feel you don't have a purpose? God chose you and can give you a purpose. The world is looking for something to fill the emptiness of their life. Only God can do that. God can make us feel unique. There's scriptures for each one of these words. You can look them up on your own. God can make us feel unique, special, lovely, precious, strong, chosen, forgiven. God created us to be irreplaceable, talented. You think you don't have a talent? When you realize God has chosen you, He will give you a talent. Beautiful. worthy. We're not worthy of all that God gives us, but He makes us worthy with His holiness and righteousness. He'll make you feel important in the kingdom of God and wonderful. Why does God do this? Why should He do this? Because you were created in the image of God. Going back to the beginning of Genesis, He created us in His image. And learning from the earth, we were chosen. Chosen by God. If you think you're unfixable, unchangeable, worthless, unworthy, God can't change me. I'm too bad. I've done too many evil things. No, I'm not worthy. Remember this. The earth was in a bigger mess than you are. And God chose it. You could be a tremendous mess in your life. You could have messed up, making one wrong decision after another. And yet, God can change that. He can fix it. He can turn it around. He can make a new creation. Why? Because He's chosen you. Submit to God. Submit to Him. Accept His gifts. Accept His choosing and respond. Say, yes, Lord, You chose me. Now I choose You. And it makes all the difference. God chose you. Whatever happens, whatever you face, never forget, you are chosen.
Fearfully and wonderfully made. That's the word. That is true. And I didn't catch you before you sat down, but I want you guys to come back because you're, with you here, you're a target that we can see, and we want to take a minute and pray for you guys. So I'd invite you to come up if you would like to pray over this couple and the special ministry that they have to these children and to believe God to meet all of those needs. So if you'd like to come and pray, come join us. We really like to lay hands on people personally if they're here in front of us and believe God to move.